I have a subject that I'd like for us to take a look at tonight. It's a simple word, very simple definition, but we will each one have to deal with this in our life. The word I'd like for us to look at is turn, T-U-R-N. It has a very simple definition: change the direction that I'm headed. And what got me thinking about this was a few weeks ago when I took the folks from Germany down to La Ronja for the meeting. And so when I started out, I typed in La Ronja, Louisiana in my GPS and started out following it. And I mean, it took me through Dallas. It took me good through Shreveport. And there were many times where it's just silent for a long distance, because you need to make no turns. You just continue on the direction that you're going. But there would be times where they would say, make a slight right, or maybe merge left. You're not having to do a big turn, but you're going to change some direction. And with this, I'd like for us to think about in our life, the Word of God does that to us. What it would like to do is be able to lead us to where it tells, make a slight adjustment right here. Yeah. And never to have to be, you've got to totally turn around. You've just gone the wrong direction. But as I was going along, I got down in familiar territory when I got to Baton Rouge. I said, you know what, I really don't care about hearing this thing anymore. I know how to get there now. And so I turned it off. And as I was driving through Baton Rouge, I was just sure I got on Interstate 12 headed toward Hammond. But I didn't go but about a mile, and I thought, something just doesn't look right. So I turned it back on, and what's the first thing I hear? Turn around. At the next place you can turn, turn around. You're going the wrong way. You know, the Bible was written to be like that GPS for my life. You know, there's a lot of times that we are just, everything's going smooth, we're going the right direction. We don't need course correction. And then along comes the Lord. And His whole desire is that I be able to make heaven my home. Here's what I've typed into the direction that I want to go, the place that I want to end up. I thought about Jesus in John, the chapter. He's telling them about a place that they could plug into to be able to go to. Let not your heart be troubled, 14:1. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whether I go, ye know, yes, and the way, ye know. But then Thomas, in the 5th verse, he came back. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And I look at that for us tonight in this year, 2018. How can we know the way? How can I know the adjustments that I need to make in my life to be able to make heaven my home? I look at the verse in 2 Peter 3:9. When they're saying, the scoffers are saying, where's the sign of his coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation. But he said that he's not willing that any would perish, but that everybody would be able to come to repentance. That's his desire. You know, nobody with a good understanding of heaven and hell would say, I choose hell. You know, we heard that several times during the meeting at Monarch, Brother Marty's message about heaven or hell. Yes. That was such a good message to me, because what it's telling us about, we need these course corrections. You know, the times where just lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, Brother Marty talked to us plain enough that night to help us to realize, you know what? You don't want to go to hell, but things are starting to develop that is a part of that. You know, I never really thought about that before. This is just an attitude. You know, sometimes we say, this is just who I am. No, if it's a part of what would lead me in the wrong direction, I don't want to let that be a part of me. I was thinking about how the road to heaven, I always thought about it this way, it begins at the cross. And yet I think it begins sooner than that, really, to those that choose to be led. I was thinking about Pilgrim's Progress when Christian. You know, when did his begin? It really began on back in the City of Destruction when he heard the message that you need to flee. Destruction is coming. And he started out on his journey, and he was instructed to go to the entrance. And for us today, I was thinking about how we're going to need to be able to have the Lord to be able to speak to us, and I'm willing to make adjustments. There was a song that was sung at Monarch. I haven't heard it for a long time. This is the drastic part of a turn that needs to be made. This is to the person that has gone on in sin and maybe is soon to head out into eternity. I'd like for you to sing this verse with me. Have you wandered along on life's pathway? Have you lived without love, a life of tears? Have you searched for that great hidden meaning? Or is your life filled with long wasted years? Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish. As you walk on in darkness and fears, turn around, turn around. God is calling, He's calling you from a life of wasted years. And you know, we can think of that verse and say, yep, that's that person out in sin that has never lived for the Lord. But you know, there can be places where the Lord deals with me in my life and I can waste some years by not taking heed to it and putting it to practice in my life. I'd like for us to go to a place in Proverbs, the first chapter, and start in the 20th verse. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? Scorners delight in their scorning, fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. I was thinking of this. This is wisdom crying. And I thought of the simple definition of wisdom. It's knowledge that I have applied. Been able to take a look at all these things that are happening around me and been able to put into my life what will keep me from headed in that direction. Wisdom crieth. And then there was another verse of this song. Search for wisdom and seek understanding. There is one who always cares and understands. Give it up, the load you're bearing. You can't go on with a life of wasted years. Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish. As you walk on in darkness and fears, turn around, turn God is calling, He's calling you from a life of wasted years. And you know, I don't want to take that song and say, yep, that's the sinner man. Because you know, I can waste time myself with the Lord's dealings in my life, and I put them off. There's another song that we sing oft in the noonday, in the evening, and in the stillness of night, sounds in the bosom this warning, turn from the evil, do right. Yet is the voice still unheeded, though it is Jesus who pleads, calling the wandering sinner, offering grace for his needs. I'm so thankful that the Spirit is willing to call to the sinner, continue to call to the sinner. And yet I am so thankful that the Lord is willing to call to me adjustments that I need to make in my life. I'd like to go to another verse in Proverbs, 20th chapter. Proverbs 20 and 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. We heard also at Monarch that message about the language of the heart and the Lord being able to understand when I haven't even spoken a word. The Lord knows what's going on inside of me. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And when in the first chapter of John, 19th verse, when it was telling about Jesus, said he was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know, I need that light to be shined inside of me and let me see myself, see how I stand before the Lord. And there's a prayer that I need to be praying constantly. You know, this is not just for the sinner tonight. This is really for each one of us to be able to put in. I put in heaven. It's the direction I want to go. It's the ending that I want to have for my life. And yet to be able to make it, there's times where I'm going to have to make a course adjustment. I'm going to have to turn. I'm going to have to make some changes. And the Lord is able to show me those. And over in Psalms, there's a prayer that I need to be praying. And I always want to keep this real in my life. Psalms 139 and 23 and 24. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And the Lord wants to do that. He wants to be able to show me the direction you're going maybe has been good up until now, but now there's a turn that needs to be made. There's a change that needs to be made. There is another verse in Psalms 119 and 130. Because I am thankful for the Lord being willing to deal with us individually. 119 and 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. So for my heart to be open to the Lord to where he can give me direction for my life, and I put it to practice in my life. While we're in Psalms 119, the light that we're wanting to take a look at is verse number 105. Psalms 119 and 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. And sometimes we'll say, you know what, I'd like for the Lord to give me correction in my life. And you know, so often we will find it in the Word of God. If I will let His Word be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And in this one, Psalms 119, what am I going to do with it whenever it does shine light on me? Psalms 119 and 59, I thought on my ways. Here the Lord has given me some instruction now of a change maybe that needs to be made in my life, a course correction, and I'm going to have to do something with it now. I thought on my ways, and I turned. I turned my feet to thy testimonies. I made haste, and I delayed not to keep thy commandments. This is what I want to be the testimony of my life, that the Lord is able to, and you know, just in this Monarch meeting, just a few days that we were there, there were several messages that had the ability to dig me out and show me, you know what, there are places that I can draw closer to the Lord, that I want to draw closer to the Lord. I appreciate that. I am glad that we can go to meetings that stir about us, because I've typed in heaven. But you know what? The Sermon on the Mount tells me that not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to make it. But it's going to be those that do the will of the Father. And I want to be ready to do that. I thought of another example. We hear it so often. We heard it at Monarch. In Luke, in the 15th chapter, when we read about the prodigal son and the course correction, the course that he went on, he needed to make a turn, went out and spent all he had. And you know, we see that happening out in the world today. Young people that make a choice to head out in the world and the price that it's going to cost. Sin has a price tag. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And as I read this in the 15th chapter and in the 11th verses where it starts, a certain man had two sons. The younger said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided to them his living. Not many days later, the young son gathered all and took his journey. You know, he turned in a direction. He was safe at home. Things were going well. But he made a turn, went in the wrong direction himself. But you know, this story to me is one of the great stories that tells us about someone turning back again. When he came to himself, 17th verse. You know, that is so valuable. And really in my life today, when the Lord deals with me, I need to be here myself. He came to himself, that I acknowledge, yes, Lord, I understand and I will make the adjustments that are necessary. Because so easily I can justify where I am. You know, we can even justify attitudes that we have of, yes, this is just the way someone else in my family, on the history of our family, is this. And this is the way I am now. But instead of doing that, what the Lord wants us to do is to be able to make a turn. He show us the direction that we need to take. I was glad for that when I was in Baton Rouge there. And it says, turn around. It didn't just say turn around, but it let me know when you're back on the right road now, now everything is going well again. The Lord doesn't want to leave us out to where we don't know where we are, but to be able to give us good, clear direction to be able to make heaven our home. I'm glad for this one. When this man came to himself, he was willing to put aside any justification that he could have had and say, I'm going back to Father's house. I'm thankful for that. I'd like to look at another verse that tells us about the need to turn. Isaiah 55 and 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I am very thankful for the mercy that the Lord extends, that he's willing for the wicked to return and for me to make adjustments in my life, and he extend that mercy to me. There's another place in Ezekiel, in the 18th chapter. People are able to make a decision which way they will turn. 18 and 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. If the wicked shall turn, will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, and not that he should return from his ways and live? You know, we're living in a time where people just, to be a Christian, you just make a decision for Christ and continue living the way you have lived in the past. And that's supposed to be able to cover it. But this one says, should, and this is a danger even for us today, when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness.
Yes.
To the young people, to all of us, as we are bombarded around us with, you cannot live free from sin. You are going to commit sin. But if you have made a decision for Christ, his blood will atone for all those that you committed yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and you'll make heaven your home. This is still in effect today. When the righteous turn away from his righteousness,
yes,
and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, shall he die. I'm thankful that the Lord is faithful.
Amen.
To tell us the turns that need to be able to be made. It's not hidden for how it'll take for us to make heaven our home. We're going to have to be righteous. Be holy, for I am holy.
Yes.
And that he's willing to deal with us. You know what? He's willing to put out a call to a nation. Anybody remember where would we find it in the scriptures where a call was put out to a nation? If my people, which are called by my name. You remember that was when Solomon was dedicating the temple. That's in 2 Chronicles 7 and 13. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face. But there was something else that they had to turn from their wicked ways. He would hear from heaven. You know what? It's the same today. Our country, as far, you know, we see it spiraling down, and yet it's only one turn away from God accepting this nation again.
Yes.
It would be a 180 degree turn. But just like that turn that I was willing to make in Baton Rouge, we can make the same turn as a nation if we would turn back to God. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. There was another verse. You remember in Jeremiah in the 18th chapter, it says he went down to the potter's house. And he watched what was being made on the wheel. And he said, and there was something that he said there. Let's look at it in the 18th. Because really he had something more than just what he was making on a wheel. He had a lesson that he was wanting to give them. O house of Israel, 6th verse. Cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, pull down, and destroy it. You know, it's like when God says, do it, it's going to happen. And yet he says here, at what instant I speak it, there's something that can change God's mind. 8th verse of the 18th chapter, Jeremiah. If that nation against whom I have pronounced, turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them.
Yes.
At what instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build and plant it, if it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. The justice of God, the mercy that is shown, the turns that we can make that would gain his approval or have his disapproval to come on our lives. We're watching it as a nation. And yet all we would have to do as a nation is just turn.
Yes.
Make a turn back to God again. And he gives us these kind of promises. And there's an example that is given. When Jonah went to Nineveh, 120,000 people there. And he gives them the message that God had given him, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. It is amazing to me. You remember the fear that he had of even going to Nineveh was because of how wicked they were. And he knew what they could do to a person that comes and gives that kind of message. Didn't want to go there. And yet when they heard that message, all of them repented. You know, it says they even went to the king and told him that. You know, the king could have said, that's only one man saying that. We'll get an army and have him out of here in just a little bit. But instead, somehow, every one of them, when that was received by them, the decree went out that you won't eat or drink for 3 days. We're going to fast. We're going to pray. We're going to be crying mightily unto God because he has given this sentence to us and we take it to be real. And they did that. And that went up to God and he turned from what he had planned to do. I'm thankful for those examples that we have in the scripture because you know what? I see that same thing could happen to America if we would humble ourselves, get down and pray. And you know, if it won't happen as a nation, let it start with me. Let me humble myself before the Lord and tell him, Lord, in my life, is there anything that you need to make that you're not pleased with, that you would like to make a change in me? Would you show it to me? There is a verse over in Joel. We don't go there very often. It's 2nd chapter, the 12th and the 13th verse. And it tells about a rending that needs to be done. Joel 2 and 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord. You know how many times he is talking to the children of Israel of a turn that they needed to make. Turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. I thought that was an interesting part there. Rend your heart instead of your garments. Don't do the outward show of the humility that I have, but instead let it be something that is happening inside my heart. Hosea also had something in the 14th chapter of Hosea, and in the 2nd verse, again, he's calling on them to humble themselves before the Lord. But it says in the 2nd verse, take with you words and turn to the Lord, saying to him, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously. And I've been thinking about this. Solomon, at the dedication of the temple, he offered so many sacrifices. I was looking at that this morning. 2 Chronicles 7 and 4. Solomon, at the dedication of the temple, sacrificed 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. That's hard to imagine how many that is. That's just a sacrifice. This is, Lord, this is, I want you to see how much I want to sacrifice this to you. This verse is telling us, rend your heart, not your garments. I thought of Solomon. The Lord visited him at the dedication of the temple. The Lord came down and his glory filled the temple, saying that his approval was there. But that second visit to Solomon was different than the first one. The first one, the Lord was telling him, you just ask what you want and I'll give it to you. The second one was his approval was still on him, but he used that little word if in there. If, Solomon, if you turn from following me, here's the things that I'm going to do. All this that I told you, I want to be here perpetually. I want to be here all the time. If you turn from following me, people are going to look at this house and they're going to say, what happened to it? And it was because you ceased from following me. And I wondered about that. I wonder, Solomon's worship, you remember when the Queen of Sheba came? One of the things that she was impressed with, Solomon was still walking very close to the Lord. One of the things she was impressed with was how he ascended to worship God. And I believe there was a humility. She saw how smart he was, but I don't think he approached God as an equal. And she was very impressed with how he went up to worship God. And so I thought about this. You know, going away from God usually doesn't happen overnight. Something had to have started in Solomon's heart. He started, I believe at first, there was no way I'll have anything else close to my worship to God. But he started marrying strange wives that had other beliefs.
Yes, sir.
And as he did that, there had to have been a progression. And this dedication that he had, so many things that he offered to God on that day, his heart was right there. I wonder about his worship to God. Did he just completely quit it? Or did something just come into where it became just a form that he did, but my heart is divided now? I thought about that with King David. You know, time passed from the day that King David sinned with Bathsheba and the day that the prophet came to him, when Nathan came to him. There had to be some Sabbath days passed by in between there. How did he worship God on those days? Did he say, I believe I'll just stay home. I sure don't want to go around God. You know how David just, how he was even willing with Uriah, send the letter with Uriah and have him killed. What's happening inside David? And David had such a love for God. I wonder what happened in those Sabbath days, those days that there was time to go worship God. Could he have possibly thought this thing is hidden also from God? You know, for us all, I believe even in the meeting that we were just in, it was stressed to us again. God sees everything. He sees my thought if it would never even become a word, and he judges it from a thought. So what I want to do is not be so interested in what everyone else thinks about me. Because you know what? If the Lord is satisfied, it's going to please those who desire to live for the Lord. But I don't want to allow just a surface. It says in Matthew 15 and 8, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Could it be possible to go to a place to where the Lord's dealings, it's just surface to me now? I know the right things to say, but I don't have the real experience. I want the Lord to be able to deal with me in my life. I want him to be able to show me, Dan, this is, it only needs a slight right. Just, it's not a complete turnaround. I just need a slight adjustment. Because I've heard before, one degree is nothing if you had a little circle. The two lines would almost go together. But you know, 1 degree over a longer distance, the gap starts widening. And the Lord would like to come to us. He'd like to come to me when it's real close. It has just started veering a little bit. We heard in the meeting about the things that there's no sin in them of their own, but it's where they can lead me to. If it's even the things that take my time. You know, if I'm not careful, I know the way. I know now how to get there, and I turn it off. You know, because sometimes even listening to the GPS, you get kind of tired of them telling you, two more miles and then you turn. Okay, I know that. I know that. Turn this thing off. You know, I want to be sensitive to the Lord's dealings in my life, because he's able to see the things that are not even a sin in themselves today, but that could hinder me in my walk with the Lord and cause me at the end of it to miss heaven. And I don't want that to happen. So I want to be very careful about the places where he tells me, make a slight turn here. There are places that, you know, before I even get in the place where I need to do a full turnaround, the Lord wants to show me places that make a slight adjustment here and you'll be clear in it. I'd like to look at a place in Proverbs, 4th chapter. Rather than falling off into sin and then having to start over again, he likes to give us warnings. Proverbs 4, and starting in the 13th verse. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. You know, there was such a success story to the man in Psalms 1 and 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's made decisions of the directions that he's going to turn. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. This one gives us direction. Make some little turns in your life to stay away from those things that can be a hindrance to us. You know, I'm finding in my life right now some adjustments. Because I've often wondered about the place in Matthew 25 and 1 that tells us the kingdom of heaven is going to be like 10 virgins.
Yes.
5 wise and 5 foolish. And I've often wondered, what would that look like? I think we're there.
Yes.
And you know what? The devil would love for me to end up in the foolish category. Those people didn't leave and go away. Those people didn't reject it and say, there's nothing to salvation. These were all virgins, but 5 of them were foolish. This past meeting, I believe, was like God giving us a visit, a serious visit.
Yes.
My soul be on thy guard. There are a lot of things that want to snare me. Do I need to be scared about it? No, but I need to be real sensitive to the Lord's dealings. That when he tells me, Dan, there's a danger right here that I don't say, but I don't see it. You know, what would it have been if Peter, when Jesus came to him and said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. You're going to deny me. And Peter said, I'll die for you. You know, Peter wasn't just being a hypocrite there. Peter thought he knew his heart. You know what? There's times I feel like I know my heart. But you know what? If Peter would have said, stop right here. Lord, I have seen you before be able to look down inside of a man's heart and tell him what he's thinking. And so I believe that I'm going to take your way instead of mine. But instead, Peter went on and said, I'd die for you. In other words, what he was saying was, Jesus, I tell you what, you've been doing good up until now in your discernment, but this one you have missed. Because you know what? I believe he could have repented right there and said, Lord, I need whatever I need that's coming up. Would you please help me and give me the strength for it? For me today, I want to walk carefully before God.
Yes.
That he would be able to show me those things that are not sin. You know, I have no desire today to go out into sin. The devil knows that. He will not waste his time on that. But I want to tell you something. There's a lot of things that he would love to snare me with. He would love to snare you with. There's another verse in Proverbs 4, 25 through 27. Let thine eyelids look right on. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. There is a verse in Isaiah. Rather than having to make a 180-degree turn completely around again, this one gives us some instruction, but I'm going to have to be real sensitive to be able to follow it. It's in Isaiah 30 and 21. Thine ears. I need to keep this verse always before me as my desire before the Lord. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it.
Amen.
When ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. When I feel like this is the right way to go. This is how I should handle this situation. That I would be real careful to listen for that voice that would say, here's the way, walk ye in it, when I would get ready to turn to the left or to the right. I'm thankful that we don't have to be living in fear. What I need to do is just walk real close to the Lord and understand the one that will guide me is that still small voice, and I need to be sensitive to listen to it. There's another verse of a song. I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years, often hindered in my journey by the ghosts of doubts and fears, broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way. But here's what I like.
Yes.
But the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today. That is the promise that God gives us each one. I will lead you. There is a verse in Hosea 6 and 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know. That's what I want to have in my life. I don't want to let it get me down the direction that the world is going. What is the future going to hold? But what I want to do is recognize who holds the future. And He is able to guide me on a good course through this to where I can make heaven my home at the end. I am so thankful for that. I want to be able to make those course corrections in my life. I would love to have them when it's just enough. It's so close to the right way that I don't even recognize that it could cause me a problem. But I want to be able to say yes to the Lord because He promises. He's got a place prepared for us, and I want to make it there. I desire your prayers.